Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. We're back, and we're fresh, and we're new. And no, actually, we're not fresh or new, but we're here. And that voice you hear next is...
Dr. Van Beek.
And that's not bad. That's kind of middle of the road. I like that.
Yeah. With a new camera and a new system, so it should be a better quality, finally.
Oh, yeah. You can't see him, but my gosh, he is just a gorgeous-looking man. I mean...
Stunning, I think. Yeah.
The most handsome man in religious podcasting right here. Yeah. Yeah, take that, you people who...
I actually know a couple others in religious podcasting.
Oh, okay. Well, whoever they are, they're but a dim light to you.
Oh, just the other nothing.
We've said many a times off screen anyway. But Lair, we're going to look at Acts 6, and Acts 6 has kind of two distinct pieces to it. One is about, kind of what happens, post, what am I trying to say here? Kind of as the church starts to mature, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And then kind of how the church is transforming all of a sudden too, right?
Yeah, and going with our theme up until 8, we have a problem inside of the church that they solve, and then at the end of 6 and 7, we have a problem from outside of the church that has to be solved. So we've still got that pattern going, which will continue on through chapter 8. And it's working pretty good. So you want to read the beginning of 6 here?
I'd be happy to. So, folks, we're in Acts chapter 6. As Larry and I had noticed in the pre-show, I am going to screw up numerous names in this. So just enjoy it. Come along for the ride. Yes, I'm university educated, but no, I cannot pronounce even simple words sometimes. So let's do this. So, folks, we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 7, chapter 6. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up the preaching of the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, who was aptly named. No, I'm just joking. I'm too far. A man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Full and Philip and Prochorus. Did I do that right?
Yeah, Prochorus, yeah.
Prochorus, yeah. Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas. Yeah. A proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith.
So most of the guys will say that we're probably several years after the beginning of the church here. So, Jesus died, he rose again, there were the 40 days, he ascended. These guys gathered together, there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and Peter's first sermon. And the way it reads, you'd think that we're still in Jerusalem still at this time. But most say they think several years have passed before they hit this point. Okay. And I'm not sure, and you can't be sure, but that's what they say. They usually say that Acts is about 20 years in the making, 20, 25 years in the making for the whole book of Acts. So they're having a problem in the church right now. There's the Hellenistic widows and the Hebraic widows. And because the church looks after the feeding of the widows and the orphans and things like that, they were noticing that the Hebraic widows, the Jewish widows, were getting taken care of. And the ones from the dispersion, the ones with Greek backgrounds, they weren't being looked after. So that was the issue inside the church. So, the usual issues we have, right? Some people aren't being looked after properly. There's a bit of a cultural structure going on. There's some frustration about different cultures. And the apostles, they gathered together and said, "Look, we got to do something about this." And they said, so let's choose seven men, and those seven men are going to look after tables. And that's the word deacon.
Ah,
so we're going to choose, we're going to choose seven deacons, seven servers to kind of take up this part. And my church has deacons and elders.
Right.
Or they used to anyway. We used to have deacons to look after the material things of the church, elders to look after the spiritual things of the church.
Yeah.
And then you had a pastor who did nothing, right? Because these other guys, they took care of her. And that's what the apostles said. They said, let's pick seven people to look after the church. And it's interesting, when you read the names, you find out that the seven that they chose were all Hellenistic names. Mm. So they said, we're having a problem with the Hellenistic women not being looked after. Let's take seven Greek guys, Hellenistic meaning Greek. Let's take seven Greek named guys, and we will use them. And now the whole point of the deacon is that they wanted to see that they were their reputation was good, and that they showed signs of being filled with the Spirit.
Right.
Right. If you're Pentecostal, you might have very specific ideas of what that is to be filled with the Spirit. Okay. But if you're from, you know, your church, then you might have, like, for Pentecostals, you know, that might mean speaking in tongues and other things.
Sure.
And for others, it could be a number of things. It could be prophesying. It could be, you know, a word of knowledge. It could just be you were really good guys and we thought you were spiritual looking. that type of thing. So that's what they look for.
Well, you're not ugly and you're willing. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, and you know, you're still standing.
Yeah, carry on. And and we call them members of the Property and Finance Committee today. Well, but that's true, right? That's really where that's morphed into in today's church, right?
Well, for some churches, yeah. For your church, we don't have a Property and Finance Committee. But we also don't have property or finances. So that might be part of the reason. You know, in the 80s we did okay, but this is 2019. So and here are the names. So the first guy they introduce is Philip, and Philip is important because he's gonna bring him up again in chapter 8.
Right.
And he'll be the one that talks to the Ethiopian eunuch and things
right.
and gets whisked away by the Spirit. So that's Philip. The other guy is Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, we don't know much about. Parmenas is the, you know, the patron saint of cheese.
that's where we were going, folks.
as you said earlier, Steve, you had some of him on your spaghetti at lunch. And then Nicholas, who's, of course, you know, that's Santa's cousin.
Yeah, that's right.
and he was the proselyte from Antioch. And so, again, he's a proselyte, which in this context, a proselyte is a new convert to somebody that's going through the conversion right. process. In this sense, he's probably a Jew. He was a Greek that became a Jew,
okay.
a Jewish person, right? So he went through that, like, to become a Christian, you know, you go to the front and you accept Christ as your Savior and you're a Christian.
Right.
To become a Jew, there's a whole process that a person had to go through to become right. a Jew. And Nicholas would have went through that. The reason I said all of these guys are Greek is because every one of their names is a Greek name.
Right.
So they figure that they chose Greek guys to take care of a Greek problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is much like we would do today, right? So there's no shock there. That's
No. And then they set them before the apostles. The apostles laid hands on them and prayed. And the apostles did say, they said, listen, guys, we are spending so much time looking after the mundane things of the church that we don't have time for prayer and the word and preaching. And so that's why they got these other guys to take on these jobs.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good, eh? That's it's slowly the business functions of the church are kind of coming out as the church grows. There's these business items that have to be dealt with and handled.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. So they solve this problem, and then you've got your caption again. And the word of God continued to increase.
Right.
The number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many priests became obedient to the faith. And a great many priests, we're assuming that these are Pharisees that we're talking about.
Right.
And remember, the Pharisees were really bad guys in the Gospels, but they're good. They're pretty good guys in the book of Acts, which is
right. kind
of, now they might have been more than just Pharisees there, but but I thought I would bring that little piece up again.
No, I think that's an important thing to note, right? Because like you said, they're painted in a negative light, but also, you know, through Acts, they've been shown that they've actually taken, you know, Peter's side at one point and things like that. So
yeah, that's right. Like Gamaliel took Peter's side and things like that.
But the other interesting thing I find about this passage is even in the very first sentence is that the reason that there was a complaint is that there was a daily distribution. So this was the community looking after its poor and widows and things, right?
Well, that's right, eh? And the church took care of that. In Canada, you know, we usually look to the government for that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But in the States and in other countries, you would expect the church to do more of that than the government does.
Yeah.
Which is, and we used to have arguments about that they called it the social gospel, you know.
Right.
Are we turning to the social gospel? And at one point, Pentecostals were heavily criticized for being people that preached Christ but didn't take care of the needs of people. Mm. Of course, what they forget is when the Pentecostal church started, everybody was poor.
Right.
And they were the poor.
Right.
So, I mean, and then as we became more wealthy, then we had to start looking, you know, to the Billy Graham Society and others to start picking up these jobs.
Right. Or Salvation Army or things like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That, where I always go for my used goods.
Okay, you want me to keep trucking on?
I do.
All right, folks, sorry about the cough there. Let's pick it up at verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. And then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of freemen, as it was called, and of the Cretans, or Cryanians, I can't figure out how to spell that or say that right now. And
the Cyrenians.
The Cyrenians, sorry. Yeah. We did rehearse this before, folks, but like honestly, I forget. And of the Alexandrians, and of all those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witness who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel.
So this is the first martyrdom. We're building toward the first martyrdom in the book of Acts, or the first recorded martyrdom. Like people were killed. They're going to be killed again by Paul and his cronies, but Stephen's the first guy, and he was one of the deacons.
Right.
So a deacon didn't just look after the affairs of the church and the needs of the widows and things like that. Like they were out preaching and spreading the gospel in their own right too.
Right.
Philip does it. Stephen does it. And Stephen is one of the Greek converts, right? And so some of the stuff that they're going to say about Philip here is probably true. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that Philip would be, if he's from the diaspora, if he's from the dispersion, so he came from outside of Jerusalem, he wouldn't be entrenched in the ideas of Jerusalem, and he would be talking about God from the perspective of an outsider. So,
right.
So they really did have things, even though they were pulling this stuff together in order to arrest him, they really did have stuff on him that they could use. Because he would speak against the ideas of Moses and things like that because he wasn't coming from Jerusalem.
Right.
So he was full of grace and power and he was doing great signs and wonders. So it wasn't just the disciples doing signs and wonders. It was all of the guys in the church. These deacons were doing signs and wonders too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the signs and wonders are. It's usually if it's healings, they'll say healings. So this will be miracles outside of healings. Probably. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians and those of Cilicia Cilicia and Asia, they rose up. So these guys started to argue against Stephen, right? So these are all the guys from the synagogue arguing against Stephen. Like, you're just some outsider, and we know the stuff of the law. Like, we're Jews from the synagogue. Remember, the synagogues were, we're not 100% sure where synagogues started. We usually say that synagogues actually started in the diaspora. When people left Jerusalem in around 580, you know, in the Babylonian dispersion.
Sure.
We think that that's kind of where the synagogue started, where they started, like, once they were outside of Jerusalem, the priesthood, the actual priesthood of Levites, that would be dispersed too. And they would just say, if we can get 12 men together, then we can start a synagogue. So that's the rise of the synagogue and the rise of the rabbi, you know, the traveling rabbis, which is what Jesus was one of. That all, we think, started during that period of time, during that second temple period. Or okay. actually, I shouldn't say that, before the second temple.
Before the second temple. But
before the second temple. And some would put it during the second temple. So that by this period in time, you know, you didn't have just the temple and the priests and stuff, but you had synagogues. Which is, by the way, the way that a synagogue ran their service, their religious service, was the way the church picked up and ran their religious service all ever since then. All of our services kind of look like the synagogue.
Right.
Which is, I don't know, it's neither here nor there, but it's kind of a neat little point.
Right. No, that's an important point.
Yeah. And so anyway, these guys started arguing with Stephen. They can't.
Yeah.
like he has this wisdom of the Spirit.
Well, few can argue with Stevens.
Well, yeah.
Many try.
many try, and precious few are chosen.
Yes.
And you know, and is your name spelled the same as this, Stephen?
Exactly the same way.
Oh, okay.
I am not named after this fine example of a deacon, though.
No. I thought maybe your name was with the V for victory.
No. All truth in.
But
in,
it's with the pH for quality of water.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Believe it or not, I'm actually named after a soap opera star. But that's a soap opera character actually.
Yeah. Stephen.
It was from All My Children. There, if you want to throw an old oldie but goldie in there. There it is.
But they could not withstand the spirit by which he spoke.
Yeah, are we talking about All My Children? Or,
about this, about, I thought I'd get back. I thought I'd get
sorry.
Back.
Sorry.
So they couldn't handle the Stephen spirit. And this might be something that when, you remember when Jesus says, you know, they're gonna take you, but don't worry about what you're gonna say because the Holy Spirit will speak through you.
Yep.
And it's a possibility. It's that kind of a thing that's going on here. Yep. Now Stephen was no dummy. I mean, he would have been you know, trained and raised proper in the Jewish ways. He'd know what he was talking about.
Right.
But I also throw in that they say wisdom and spirit kind of suggests that there's a miraculous piece to Stephen speaking here. So it wasn't just he has a doctorate of theology, you know, from a highly recognized university. It was more like the Spirit of God speaking through him.
Well played.
Thank you. And then they secretly instigated men. So then they instigated people to speak against him. And man, you know, you hear that right up until now, right? Okay. This is all a part of American politics today. They instigated people to speak against him. Oh, Canadian politics too, but yeah. No one really cares about ours. So.
No. Not nearly as salacious.
No. Trudeau can do what he wants with, you know, with Lavalin, SNC-Lavalin. No, I can't say.
Lavalin.
So they instigate people who say he's speaking against Moses, and probably there was truth to that. That he was speaking against these things because he understood them in a different way than the people from Jerusalem.
Right.
Yeah. And they stirred up the people and the elders, so people got mad at him, and then they bring him up. Oh, they also had false witnesses who said he never ceases to speak against the holy place and the law. And we've heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs. And I'm sure that Stephen actually did say that.
Yeah.
Because Jesus said that.
Yeah.
Right? And he was speaking those same words. And Peter said that kind of stuff.
Right.
Peter said, you know, we're here to speak for Jesus. You killed Jesus. And we're telling you that God raised him from the dead. Yep. And they never killed Peter for that. But Stephen wasn't one of the inner circle. Mm. So maybe they had a better chance to do something about him than they would have with Peter. And so then they arrest him. And it says, gazing on him, he had the face of an angel. And so usually when you see pictures of Stephen, there's that, they're the icons and stuff, but they have that glowing circle around his face.
Right.
We don't really know what they mean by he had the face of an angel. There was nothing angelic about the man. He was a tough servant of God, an outspoken servant of God.
Right.
But Luke likes to throw in the piece that he had the face of an angel. Chapter 7 is going to be Stephen's sermon, and Luke actually picks up quite a bit. It's longer than any of the recordings of Peter's sermons, and so he has quite a bit to say in the next chapter. And then they're going to kill him at the end of that. A little spoiler alert, they're going to kill him.
Still come back next week, folks. We've still got some good stuff to say. So,
yeah. And the oddity about that death is there's nothing downcast or defeatist about his death. It's actually victorious.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of amazing. I mean, I don't think this is sacrilege to say. It's amazing how Luke has tied that theme together, right? To say that this is a triumphant death. This is a death worthy of the cross. And Paul is there watching it and approving it.
Yeah.
And this starts, you know, it's a nice way to dovetail. This is now Paul's story. And it starts at Stephen's martyrdom, right?
It does. Paul gets introduced in the next chapter. And then by the end of 8 and 9, we're into the story of Paul.
Yeah.
Remember the people that said, we transitioned from Peter to Paul. And I don't know where Mary is in that or Puff, but
we are doing all the obscure references today, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, Puff is the magic dragon. You know?
That's true. He lived by the sea, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a land called Onalee.
Yeah. Yeah. That's nowhere near Jerusalem.
No. But anyway, so Stephen, the first martyr, and again, If we want to tie it into what we were doing with Revelation before, notice the victory in death here, and in Revelation as well. So
Larry, that's a really, really great point here, right? This is a foreshadowing of what Revelation says is a victorious death.
Yeah, and we're going to say all that again next week, of course. But
right.
So,
but that's great. That's a nice, folks, you know, like Larry and I were talking before, this is a very compact little chapter, and 7 is so long, but we're still going to tackle 7 all in one episode next time. But, you know, this was kind of an important one to kind of highlight that, you know, there was two things going on, like Larry says, right? There was trouble in the church and a challenge within, and they responded to it. And then there's this challenge that we're just seeing here from verses 8 all the way through the end of chapter 7. And how they respond to that as well. So take heart, you know, you might not be called to be Stephen, but you also might have to solve things like they decide to solve the Hellenist issue as well. So thanks for that, bud.
Thank you, Stephen.
Anything else you want to say? Are we good there?
I think we're good. I think we're good.
I think we're good. And by the way, he still looks very good on his new camera, by the way. So check that out nowhere because you're not going to get to see it. Sorry, that's just between Larry and I.
Just a little plug for Logitech.
A little plug for the Logitech C920 webcam. Get one today. But folks, thanks so much for kind of journeying with us through this. We are, as you can tell, we're having a good time going through Acts. We're enjoying the passages, not because we want to make fun of it, or we are having fun while we're doing it, but this is such a great story of the church and how the church is getting going. And often we appeal to this time, but we don't often understand the hardship and the glory that was both there in both things in the early church. So thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, he's Larry, I'm Steve, and this is the